everybody. Welcome to WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are going to do a, I was going to say an animator spotlight, but there are two of them that we will be discussing.
Yes, absolutely. But first, we need to talk to you briefly about Patreon. We have launched a Patreon a little bit ago, and we are putting a lot of new content there. We're trying to ramp things up to it. You can get access to episodes earlier. You can get one-on-one access to us and have, you know, one-on-one conversations, even like a monthly meetup, a video meetup. So
COVID, we're not going to do face-to-face.
Yes. Also, it opens up to a wider audience and everything. But yeah. Can support us with
any support that you guys are willing to donate. We have three different tiers right now, and it all goes to helping us create the show and provide you with the content that you look for every week. So anything that you want to donate is greatly appreciated. Check us out at is it patreon.com/
WD Carousel podcast, or it's available in the description text of your episode you're listening to right now. And I think you can get, I have to double check this, but I think you can get early access to episodes if you are as paying as little as like a dollar. Like you can get, as long as you're paying
a month, that's not bad.
Yeah. And but you don't get any of the other stuff, but I think you can still get early access. I have to double check all that, but yes.
So check us out there, and we appreciate all your help. So on to the show. We will be discussing two animators. Now, Crystal, why are you talking about an animator spotlight, but you are doing two? Well, because they are basically two sides of the same coin. They are the same unit that has been existing for the majority of their life. Now, I do want to say that trying to do research into Ollie Johnston and Frank Thomas, who are the animators we will be discussing today, was actually really difficult. And this is our first real, like, toe dip into the Nine Old Men, which you've probably heard us throw around that phrase, or if you are in the Disney fandom, you know that Walt's Nine Old Men were the huge influential creators that helped him create the empire of Disney animation as we know it.
Right.
But trying to get information on them is nigh on impossible.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was looking at Ollie's Wikipedia page, and there was a paragraph for his career.
Ugh.
And then just a list of movies that he animated on.
Oh, man.
But not what he's done. He contributed, anything about his life. I mean, there's so many different things that these are amazing innovators. It was difficult finding this information. So as we get further and further into this kind of discovery of the Nine Old Men, and an introduction to the, you know, creations that they made, realize that this is, I'm glad we're doing this so that we, at least they're out there someplace.
Yeah, absolutely.
More than just a name.
Yeah, we'll have to tag it up. So if you want to spread it around, we can be at least your first stop to try to get some information and then go from there.
Yeah.
Jumping
into it.
Yes.
It wasn't. They first met in 1931 at Stanford University for the arts department. They had both been attending. And backing up a little bit further than that, though, it took them a few decades after they had initially met to find out that their mothers were born in the same small town in Illinois.
That's so weird.
And they didn't know each other. Also, their fathers are both educators. And, like, these similarities are going to keep popping up throughout this whole, like, explanation of the two, which is why everybody, even Walt, would talk about them as Frank and Ollie. It was almost as if it was one person that they were talking about, because they rolled the names together so often on so many different projects.
Right. That's hilarious.
And then in 1931, when they were studying art at Stanford, one of the instructors there found out that there was some live models for drawings, and threw a hissy fit and said that they will never have live models of various levels of undress in the art department again. And so the guys actually decided that they were going to go to this other like little community college for a place to study live portraiture and live painting.
Yeah.
And
funny.
Yeah. And that's where they really connected and started their decades long friendship. They would talk about, they'd be driving back to their little apartment and stop at this one bar where Frank would play the piano, and they always had to trade like one of their paintings that they did during class or something for dinner. Like the business wanted that instead of money, which was fine for poor college kids. But
right, no, absolutely. I wish I could do something like that now.
I know. Just imagine having an art piece of Frank or Ollie's, or you know, hanging up in your house. Just, you know, that cost me a burger.
Right, right. I just had to give them a burger, and they gave me this original artwork.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then after school, they decided to move into a boarding house in LA together, which kind of, they never lived apart really ever again. So it started a boarding house in LA, and then they got an apartment together. And then they got, when Ollie married Marie, they got two separate apartments, one across the hall from each other. Then they moved into a house with the boys and Marie, and then a duplex for both of the couples.
Oh my God.
Once Frank married Jeanette. And then finally they built houses next to each other, sharing property with a huge railroad and just all this other, they never lived alone. Like
That's so crazy.
Peanut butter and jelly. They were like best friends stuck together.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They even both started with the Disney company in 1934.
Yeah, and they both left in 78.
Yes. Same time. They just retired at the same time.
Oh my God.
Through some interviews, I found out that Ollie started as an in-betweener, and Frank actually started out as an animator. I think it was Frank first that had gotten the job at Disney and then told Ollie that he should apply. And
then
Ollie got in, and they've been together with the company ever since. But I was shocked to see that Ollie started at a little bit lower level.
Right. Right. He started not doing an animator. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And so they had, in talking to Frank and Ollie, Frank says he had his best ideas while shaving due to the electrical currents so close to his brain, which is really funny.
My grandpa used to use an electric shaver like that.
Yeah, mine did too. Yeah, the one that the round, like the Philips Norelco ones. Yeah, definitely. That's really funny. And Ollie was a walker. He would always walk around and get his creative juices moving.
Yeah.
Which I could totally see that.
Yeah, he's basically at his house, he's worn a path into his front yard because he takes the same path every day. And it's not even a straight path. It's like this looping hook that you know, you have a driveway, you have sidewalk, you have road, but oh no, you're going to walk on the grass in that same path so often you wear it away.
Whatever.
The first Disney short that both of these gentlemen worked on together was the 1963 short More Kittens, which I'm not familiar with.
63 or 36?
36. Excuse me. 36. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you for the correction. But the big one that, you know, everybody should know about is they both worked on
a little film called Snow White. You ever heard of it?
maybe just a little bit.
Yeah.
And of course, they were just starting out with the Disney company. Disney was just starting out with theatrical animation. So all of this was completely brand new to everybody on the team, but they got to be part of it from near on the beginning. And they came in and they said they're only of the nine old men that Disney talks about. There were only four that were already existing prior to them. And okay. I think Frank said that his employment number was 224.
Oh, wow. That's
so crazy. Thinking of all of the different levels of animation that we have discussed in prior episodes, for him to be employee number 224 is a very low number.
That's a very low number. Mm-hmm. In 1941, Walt was sent to South America for a sort of ambassador trip in World War II by Roosevelt. And the strike. I can't remember how that timed out.
This was also during the time that the strike was going on. So if you listen to our Disney strike video, we talked about how President Roosevelt actually kind of interceded in the strike that happened. And this was the way that he did. He told Walt that he needed Walt to be an ambassador during World War II to the South American countries. He said the ABC countries. So I think, Argentina, Brazil, and Chile. And, then he would take care of the labor teams while Walt was gone doing this. And Walt said, okay, just as long as he can make some movies off of the content that he found down there, because he didn't want to just go down and shake hands. And so they're like, okay, yeah, whatever. And he brought 18 animators with him, and he only brought Frank. He did not bring Ollie at this time.
Interesting.
But from that trip, they created the Saludos Amigos and the Three Caballeros. So you are familiar with the Disney catalog and you see the two South American influenced movies, that's where that came from.
It makes sense that they kind of got inspired by going somewhere. I didn't really think about that though. Yeah, go for it.
I was just going to say, Frank and Ollie are most well known out of the nine old men for their personality animation. They really were the pioneers of it, even beyond Walt, what Walt imagined. And Walt has been quoted to say, because they are some of the best screen actors ever. So a lot of the interviews that I was watching, you would see Frank and or Ollie acting out the character that they were in charge of animating, and it's almost spot on exactly what they ended up animating. So taking it beyond just that little mirror that we've sometimes seen next to an animator's desk where they look at it just to get the right facial structure, but to actually see like hand gestures and body movement and all of this. But they did have their differences.
Yeah, so Ollie was very much the intuitive animator. I was thinking about like Myers-Briggs. Sorry, what is the character thinking? Why do they feel that way? What's your motivation? Kind of vibe.
Yeah, when he would draw, it was very light drawings. They said like kissing the paper with his pencil.
Yeah,
soft lines, simple, crisp forms to make a statement. Ollie kind of had it in his gut the way that the scene was going to be, and knew what reactions they were trying to get out of the characters as well as the audience. So he worked very intuitively. Versus, you know, Frank, who was more analytical.
The note taker.
Yeah. He wanted to figure everything out. Sometimes this led to even like 1,000 lines for one sketch.
No.
Just trying to make sure that he got everything perfect. It's almost been quoted to say that he would keep drawing almost like a sculptor tearing away at clay until he finds the expression that he needed. But he kept drawing and searching with his pencil to find the expression.
Until he could find what he wanted to see. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Is this a Walt quote?
No, that's a Frank quote.
That's a Frank quote.
Mm-hmm.
He said that.
Yeah.
About himself?
Frank said, that he had contact with the magic behind the drawing and not the drawing itself.
Okay.
So it's
he was
like
looking at it. He could see behind just the image and look at what was drawing the image to what you were seeing.
Yeah, he talked about it like he was almost inside, working in three dimensions within the scene, the paintings and stuff. Right. And right. so he had that idea of being self in there. And he talked about, like, if the phone would ring and it would pull him out of it, he was lost for a bit because he had been so engrossed in within the scene.
Sure.
Like, he was actually there, that he had a hard time coming out of it to be able to
sure
talk to whoever was calling on the phone.
Huh.
But they both leaned on each other a lot, helping edit, correct, remember ideas. They drove to work back and forth, carpooled every single day. So work didn't stop when they punched out for the day. A lot of the sure. times they would still be discussing whatever scene they were working on, coming up with ideas back and forth.
Yeah.
And then would sketch it out. And then, you know, Ollie would go up to Frank and be like, okay, so here's what I thought. And Frank would be like, well, I thought you said that you had mentioned something about him, his arm doing this and,
right.
or having this gesture. And Ollie would be like, oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that. Now let me correct that. Or Frank would come to right. Ollie and be like, well, here's what I have. And Ollie would be like, well, you don't necessarily need to have that little area there. I might edit sure. this here. Or, you know, one was very fluid, one was very detail focused, and they really worked off of each other, they say, in the best way possible. That they would not have been able to come up with the quality of work that they did without having each other.
That's pretty mm-hmm. amazing. They worked on quite a few famous scenes from very classic films. Pinocchio, I've only seen Pinocchio once, and it was a while ago, so some of this stuff I don't remember. Pinocchio lying in the cage, and they had to like compare the nose sizes. How's that?
Because they were both working on the lie scene,
yeah.
where Pinocchio was talking to the blue fairy, and yeah. so it's like, I can't remember who was doing what, but to know what point the nose was at before the other one got to it, and thickness and little like wooden nose additions yeah. because at the end yeah. there's like buds and flowers and yeah. like a whole bird's oh, nest man. On there. So being able to compare nose sizes, and these are just a few of the famous scenes that they've worked on. Like in Bambi, Ollie did the Thumper eating the greens is a special treat scene. So yep. the part where Thumper is being chastised for telling Bambi to eat only clover. And gotcha. Mom's like, what did your father tell you? And eating greens is a special treat, and goes through the whole thing. And that was Ollie. And okay. then Frank in Bambi, he did the part where Bambi and Thumper are, you know, playing around on the ice. And Walt right. almost cut that. And so he had 3 days to convince him to keep it. So he basically had to sketch out the whole scene and convince Walt to keep it. in just 3 days, or else that part was going to be
anyway. Wow.
Chopped.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And they also did the Lady and the Tramp spaghetti scene, the classic scene that everyone knows. It's like, it's just become ubiquitous.
Yes, it's almost like traditional Disney romantic scene in animation.
Literally.
They did Robin Hood. And so these scenes that I pulled from here, they were talking in the interview about their children, and that's where they got the inspiration from. So Ollie okay. worked on the scene where Prince John was sucking his thumb while pulling his ear. And Frank worked on the part where Prince John was sleeping and Robin and everybody was stealing gold from around his bed. And sure. He talks about Prince John's feet like curling up and like kicking the sheets a little bit. And he's like, my son used to do that a lot too. And that's where I got the inspiration
for
it.
That's funny. Yeah. And then so I'm trying to think. Doorknob. I'm trying to think of the
Alice in Wonderland. Frank did the doorknob. So this is where Alice just fell down the rabbit hole and is trying to get into Wonderland. And
right.
the okay. conversation that they have, because Ollie did Alice. Ollie wanted Alice to be more quiet and demure. And Frank was like, no, we got to give what are we going to have the doorknob talk about? I need to have him actually have some lines here. I need to have some sort of
right,
action
right.
because me just drawing a doorknob is going to be really boring. So
boring. Yeah.
If you look at the scene, you're going to find that Alice is very short on her words in her scripting. She has like two words, three word sentences. And then it's like the doorknob is just going off all over because Frank wanted to be able to animate something and he just kind of took it and ran with it.
That's funny. And Peter Pan, Ollie worked on Smee and Frank worked on Hook. And that scene at the, scene at the piano.
Yeah.
Is that where Hook was playing?
Yeah. In an interview, he talked about how he was trying to figure out, because Frank was a pianist, and he wanted to include that. And he's like, how can I get someone with a hook to play the piano? Because it's not like he can do bring because he doesn't have the full scale. But that's where he talked about br-bonk, 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 bink, because the hook can do that. So it's just taking a lot of personal inspiration from... their life. But I mean, we can keep going over these over and over
so
again.
Many of these.
The other big one that I'm going to bring up though is The Jungle Book. So this is the movie that we know that Walt died while it was still in production for.
Right.
And we've talked about this as well, that if this movie did not succeed, the Walt Disney Studios, you know, the animation studios might not have survived.
Right.
And I found out through all the interviews that I was watching that Frank and Ollie were pivotal to this. Like, they went over and they animated over half of the scenes. They were in charge of Baloo and Mowgli. And without their contributions to making sure that this movie was a success, the Walt Disney Animation Studios might not still be around. But in total, they had worked on 23 features together and four books together. One of which that I actually have here, which is The Illusions of Life, Disney Animation. Unfortunately, I forgot that I had this book while I was going over the animation process a couple episodes back. But they said that when they were writing these books, they just were talking about what they did regularly, not realizing that this was, you know, groundbreaking techniques and being able to, you know, take advantage of them. Of the nine old men, Frank and Ollie specialized in the most sincere emotions for the animation, able to suspend disbelief movie after movie. A lot of things like sorrow and heartache, the subtleness of the romance scene between Lady and Tramp, where Lady is all demure and you can see the moment Tramp falls in love with her. You know, those are the things that they really specialized in.
Nice. Absolutely. So Frank met his wife, Jeanette,
and they married
in 1946.
And then Ollie met his wife, Marie, who was actually an ink and paint girl.
Oh, got it. Of course.
In 1943.
Got it.
But... yeah,
and then I couldn't find out where
Jeanette worked because it was never brought up. I was wondering if she was a Disney girl as well, but
worked
I could
in HR
not
or
find it anywhere.
Fair enough. Both of their wives had their first babies within a week of each other, which is
flipping
weird.
Again, these guys are just they're duplicates in everything.
Yeah.
When Walt would talk about the nine old men, he'd use one key phrase for each one. And so like for Ollie, it was like Ollie the train guy. And
it's because
Ollie's passion for trains actually got Walt re-excited for them and renewed his love in them. And so it's kind of Ollie's fault that Walt got back into trains and then
subsequently
everything else. I'm not going to complain about it.
Yeah, no, yep, I'm all about it.
In one of the Disneyland specials that Walt filmed, he mentions trains and Ollie's connection to them. And he said it took Ollie over 4,000 hours to build his own modern model steam engine, and he has a full-size real one that was on his property.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
That he would drive around.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then the nickname that Walt used for Frank was Frank the Piano Guy.
Frank the Piano Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And because he played in a jazz band, which was called Firehouse 5+2. Mm-hmm. And they did Dixieland Jazz. They had 13 LPs made.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And they actually made a number of television appearances.
And most of the Firehouse 5+2 were almost all in the Disney company.
That's so crazy.
Including some of the other nine old men.
Yeah.
Wow. Ward Kimball, Harper Goff. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. That is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, people who are. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep. And then we're just going to wrap up this episode with, if you have any more interest in these guys, they're so sweet. They actually do have a documentary that's about an hour and a half long available on Disney Plus. It's called Frank and Ollie. I highly recommend watching it. It's from 1995 and it's just, they're so sweet. They're such old sweet guys.
Yeah.
Just want to hug them. Unfortunately, they've all passed away. But time does that. But their contributions to the Walt Disney Animation Studio and just animation in general need to be spoken of more because they're revolutionary.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like they made a lot of the heart and soul of the characters you really like in the Disney movies, and it's cool to see that they had such a big part of that.
I mean, 23 of the regular movies, you know, the Disney features that we are familiar with. I mean, I could keep going. In Sword in the Stone, they were part of the squirrel scene. They did Archimedes. Did Mad Madam Mim. We're talking about, I know they were in Cinderella. I know that they've touched everything.
They even
talked about like the rescuers, and I'm trying not to just list off different scenes that they've done, but everybody, whether you know it or not, has seen their animation because they're so integral.
Well, yeah, whatever.
I'm questioning myself now.
Yeah,
To the movies that we grew up with and know and love. I think somebody said that, you know, at least half of the world knows what they've created, even if they don't know who they are. They've created, and I think that is amazing. It's kind of sad, but amazing.
Yeah, but definitely an interesting way to have your legacy set. Is to just like your work lives on eternally, basically, even though you're not necessarily well known.
Yeah. So this has been our first round of the nine old men. We are going to continue with this series occasionally, bringing up another one here. So we have seven more to go because Ub was technically not a nine old man. I don't know. I think he got out too early. He got out early and then came back. But yeah, so this has been WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And we hope you have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Bye, everybody.